Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Glad to have you listening on a Friday as we're out here in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand getting you ready for Wilder Fury 2. Undefeated heavyweight battle. Weigh in, Mike, a few hours away. Thousands of people already showing up, making their way into the MGM Grand Garden.
Yeah, I think Sean shot some video. It's up at 92.9 The Game on Twitter. You can check it out on our Facebook page as well, where literally thousands of folks who won't actually get to see these guys go toe-to-toe because the Nevada Boxing Commission has said, after Wednesday's hijinks on TV, on ESPN, you guys don't get to be in the same room again until the fight. So it'll be individual weigh-ins, but not these two guys on the same stage at the same time. But people still want to go see what's going down.
Yeah, tension is high. I repeat, tension is high. You'll hear from Tyson Fury coming up next hour. We'll let you hear from the Gypsy King as we had a chance to talk with him, and also more from Deontay Wilder. Meanwhile, back at the house, as I like to say, in Atlanta, guys, everybody's talking about Trae Young. We just heard from Steve Koonin, Mike, talking about the 50 points last night from Trae. We're going to talk more about that coming up as part of our top story as Trae, again, comes out of the All-Star break on fire. And I like to call it revenge on the Miami Heat. But first, we got to get to the Falcon Report, guys. And there's a lot going on around the NFL today, okay? Not only do we have Tua Tagovailoa saying things, we've got the NFLPA, which is the Players Association, responding to the owner's proposed deal. And then on top of that, Mike, we have, you know, guys like Mel Kiper saying they know where the Falcons are going to go in the draft. So we'll get to all of that. The Falcon Report is always brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, great deals going on right now, including $5.99 for a two-topping medium pizza. Get two of those minimum, and then you can also follow the tracker and see how your pizza is navigating its way around the streets of Atlanta.
It is cool.
To your home.
Yeah, that is cool to keep up with your pizza and know that it's going to be delivered on time. All right, let's start first with the newest information that we have in regards to this proposed CBA. First things first, you see all the players coming out going, no deal.
Yeah, the player reps, initially they were going to get the whole league vote on it, and needless to say, the votes, I'm surprised the vote was as close as it was. If you missed the show, guys, earlier in the NFL Blitz, I did some math. Not my strong suit, but I get to Vegas, though. It's amazing how my competitive abilities.
It really is. I mean, you get on the craps table, you're putting these numbers together. It's amazing what happens.
Yes, so I did the numbers. $100 million, it sounds great. It really
how
is.
How much?
$100 more million for the players next year if they take this deal. The TV contract's not even done yet. So, and that's all false parts of shared revenue with the players. But, Carl, $100 million sounds great to the casual fan. Wow, the NFL players would be crazy to turn down $100 million more next year until you do the numbers and you do 32 teams by 53 men. That's like $1,600 and change. What does that equal out to?
What's it equal out to?
$58,900 more a year per man.
Man, that ain't nothing.
Well, it's something to a guy in his car right now who's scrambled to make a mortgage, but to a guy who's on a $5 million contract, which by NFL standards means you're good, but it's a short-term deal, a game check is $300,000. So it's a bunch of, let's be honest, PR, it's a bit of a whitewash. It's the NFL kind of getting that first salvo, boom, in what's going to be protracted, seemingly, negotiations with the players. It just doesn't wash. It's chicken feed, but it sounds good on first blush. Wow, $100 more million. Why wouldn't they do the deal? crap.
It is. And this is why most of the brand, big brand players around the league are going, no, go. So today, the NFLPA puts out a statement. And remember, this proposed deal has 17 games, two more teams making the playoffs, potentially a bigger TV contract.
Cutting down the preseason.
Long term. Cutting the preseason down. Including guarantees for first-round picks on the fifth-year option. So there's some things that we've talked about today in our NFL Blitz segment earlier in the show. Five-hour show. Join us early. Mm-hmm. That look really good. So today, the NFLPA puts this out.
No vote. It's so bad they're not even going to vote on it.
The NFLPA board of player representatives did not take a vote on the principal terms on the proposed new collective bargaining agreement.
Right, right.
All right, so they say our player leadership looks forward to meeting with the NFL management again next week, and then they'll take a vote shortly after. Remember, Mike and I talked about this, guys. You go, well, what's the consequence? Consequence is we get to the start of the NFL league year, which is next month.
Right.
We don't have a deal. They will play this next upcoming season. So we get to September, we go through the season with no new deal, and we get past next year's Super Bowl.
Right.
It gets on.
So there's where we could see a potential lockout. Remember, we asked Arthur Blank last year about this. He said, no, he thinks things are going to get done and cooler heads are going to prevail. This is just, as we said, the first shot in what's going to be a, you know, sort of a public relations war. Players right now, they want to get closer to 50-50. NFL owners are never going to get that. And you look at the revenue, Carl. That's another thing. $100 million.
How much?
$100 million more next year. Guess what the NFL's net was two years ago?
What was it?
$8 billion. This year, it's $10 billion. The NFL is going to gross $16 billion this year. If you look at the trajectory of NFL profits, it's like everybody's dream 401k.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just pop, pop, pop. It just keeps going to the moon.
Well, I
so that's like $100 million is nothing.
I got to tell you guys, too, this is the part about Roger Goodell that we don't talk about and the brilliance and where he the owners love him. Mike, we had all of this stuff about how the league was being hurt with the protest and all this stuff.
Right.
And then now you're building new stadiums in Vegas. You got a new stadium in L.A. You got teams back in L.A.
Right.
The NFL has thrived without being in the second largest media market in the country. Now you have two teams in a brand new billion-dollar stadium. This is the part we don't talk about, Roger Goodell. This is where he gets the credit because he's putting more money in the owner's pockets. That's why those numbers are going to continue to go up because now you can sell. We're in L.A.
Right.
You haven't been able to sell that for 30 years. So this is the part, man, where you go, this is why players are going, I don't dig this. This is not going to be enough for me to sign off on this and say yes.
You got Tepper spending, you know, record money to get Carolina, and he wants a new stadium. Now, he'll get that. That'll be coming down the pike. So you get back to it, guys. What does it mean? Doesn't mean anything for this season, but this is going to be interesting because the players wisely said no way. And Carl and I had this conversation earlier. Will we see this team, I mean, I should think when I say team of players, combined in solidarity to really walk out in a year from now. I don't know if this generation of players, Carl, as we've talked about, are these guys tough enough? Can they squirrel away the money? There is a fund which is set up for that. But I just don't know if a generation of players can actually see through a strike. The NFL, they'll lock them out anyway.
All right. We want to let you hear from Jeff Saturday talking about the CBA. If you don't know who Jeff Saturday was, former center. He was head of the NFLPA. He played with the Colts. A very knowledgeable guy.
Yeah.
This is his opinion about what's been proposed. Listen closely.
It's a good deal. And listen, I've looked at this thing. I was looking at it, and I don't know every single detail at this point, but the ones I have looked, I feel like they've improved in almost every area. At the end of the day, player health and safety has improved. You're talking to the minimum salary is going up $100,000 next year. So what does that mean? That means over 50% of the players are going to be impacted because most guys are minimum salary guys.
That's from ESPN, by the way.
Yes, it is. So
he says thinks it's a good deal.
Yeah, and here's this is the part. We all think all these guys, all 1,600 guys, they're not making $25 million.
No, the veterans, if you are a star established player, this deal doesn't make sense. If you're a younger guy, if you're one of like the 45 to 53rd man on the roster, Carl, then it makes a lot of sense for you. I just don't, for the most part, see why they would sign off. They voted 6-5. I'm surprised it was that close for the
I agree.
The elite. This is the leadership council for the Players Association.
So, guys, one guy who's been in it says, I think it's a good deal. You got a bunch of guys in the league currently saying, I don't think this is a good deal. At some point, this has got to come to a head.
And by the way, another aspect of this, you know, be the best thing for the owners? Players start fighting each other. You got factions. You got guys around D'Amore Smith. They want another guy to take over the league, and that's just in house divided.
All right, man.
Players going to see this through. That's, you know, Randy McMichaels talked about that with us. Talked about it with Andy. Be very curious to see if the guys have the wherewithal to get this thing done.
Well, it's easy to say we won't play, and I don't think we're there yet, and I don't think we're going to get there. But that's a serious threat. And when you start going there, Mike, you better be willing to stand by it. That's the part that, you know, players, we're going back to the 80s, right? The strike and then the lockout. When you start having those conversations, you better be ready to stand by it. Because I guarantee you, the owners have enough money to sit and chill.
Right. Darn straight. They got a war chest. They can ride it out. Hey, man, we talked about Everson Griffin yesterday. He gets his option out from the Vikings. A lot of Falcon fans said, hey, he'd look great in a Falcon uniform. Yes, he would. We don't have any money. Then there's another guy that got released today, and that is Snacks Harrison, defensive tackle. Big space-grabbing guy. You can use him in a 3-4, 4-3. He's a big dude. Put him next to Grady, and he'd basically be stopping up the entire line. But again, it's like, you know, he would come cheaper than Griffin, but is that a name you'd be interested in getting Snacks out here?
We were talking about it. If you really want to put somebody next to Grady, potentially, he can still play, I think. I haven't watched a lot of snaps with Snacks, but I do know.
Just a big old dude.
Yeah, and you always talk about that bigger compliment. Well, that's a bigger compliment. So, you know, again, I'm really curious to see how they maneuver in free agency. The first thing they got to do, though, Mike, is figure out whether they're going to pay who.
Right.
Are you paying who? Because that's the thing. If you're paying hoop, we're not getting that snacks. We're not getting any after-meal snacks or any of this stuff.
He would be a cheap deal. He's 31, so it'd be he just signed a one-year extension, which they released him out of with Detroit. But, yeah, man, unless we come up with some real radical ideas, and I know this is the only part of the NFL. I know we just spent a lot of time on the money side of it. But the salary cap thing is so confusing at times. Some hard decisions for Thomas and his bean counters to get done. I just don't know if we could have Devondre and Hoop and then some of these other guys you guys want us to bring in. No way if you can do that.
You can't. And you know, the first decision is you're going to pay Hoop $10 million. And if you are, cool. But know that you're not going to get any of these additional pieces. I think that's why the Freeman cut is realistic. I really do. And we're not there yet. It hasn't happened. But I do think that's what's got to happen if you plan on doing anything potentially in free agency.
Our man D-Led from the AJC just tweeting out that the Bears released Taylor Gabriel. Remember T? Nice guy. Solid piece.
Yeah, Turbo.
Turbo is doing his thing, so he's out there on the float. For those of you Falcon fans who would all immediately go, let's go get him. Okay, fine.
No, they don't need that, guys.
We got wild receivers covered right now. We're good.
Yeah, listen, when you move on from a guy, especially in the NFL, it's very rare a guy comes back to your team. There's a reason, whether it's scheme or, you know, the fact that you had a younger, better player at his position. Either way, right. Turbo's a good guy. We liked him. And he came on our show, as a matter of fact, right after, you know, he found out he was going to be released by the Falcons. Got a nice deal with the Bears. And somebody else will give him another shot. It is Dukes and Bell. It's our Falcon Report mixed in with a lot of labor talk. Last but not least, Mike, we have been not really focusing on this. I think as we get past the combine, we will be focusing a little bit more on this. But Mel Kiper at pick 16 has us addressing pass rush. And a guy that you said you didn't necessarily – you don't know what you think, I think. Mm-hmm. Iowa defensive end, A.J. Epenesa.
He's a solid piece. He totally fit. You know what? He is a newer version of all those names we talked about the other day when I went Legion of Meh. He's a younger, athletic guy. They love his up motor. He can do almost everything. But, I mean, to me, he's – when I hear Dan Quinn that phrase, like the cross train, he's a big guy. But Chase Young's the only guy that everybody who's in a Falcon fan would say that's the difference maker.
Yeah.
I just – he looks good. Everybody else is in another tier because it's just Chase Young makes everyone look so devalued.
It's true.
And there's nothing wrong against Espinosa's game because he's really great. He's like one of the top three edge rushers in this draft.
So that's who right now Mel Kiper says that more than likely would come to us. But, again, we got a long time between now and the draft. A lot of stuff's going to happen.
The dude is a beast. I mean, I just hope he balls out for us. Guys, get on this defensive line and nothing happens.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell live at the MGM Grand getting you ready for Wilder Fury. Tyson Fury's on the way in the 6 o'clock hour. But next, he is a legitimate superstar. And it's time that Atlanta recognizes what we have. We'll talk about it on Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Coming up, our strong arm story of the day. I don't appreciate our big voice making it seem like we're wild men out here. That's not true.
Hey, man, I had the oldest crew in the club last night. I walked in. We had an average age of 54.5. Tony the Mailman, Oliver the Austrian, yours truly, out there dancing like an idiot, having a great time. Pictures are up at Mike Bell, ATL. We were at Hakkasan. Our old wingman, John Michaels, would have been in his element. It was great. But good time, fun time. And tonight, Carl, we take the party over to Cosmopolitan at the Marquee Club.
All right, man. Let me know.
Come on.
Let me know how it goes.
Come
on. Let me know how it goes.
No, man. I mean, I had the bank just call me and go, are you still taking all that money out of the ATM? Shut up. None of your business. Raise my limit. But, yeah, man, good time, fun time. Hey, real quick, before we get to the strong arm story of the day brought to you by John Foy, and obviously the big story today is the weigh-in is about a half hour away for Wilder Fury 2 here in Las Vegas. But we were just talking about edge rushers. And I know everybody knows Chase Young, the guy which we have to do a Julio-like trade from 11 to get. Then there's Epinesa, who we just talked about, from Iowa. Chase on from LSU. We've talked about some of the other guys. But there's a dude, and Squid Billy mentioned before the break, I was just talking about him with him, a guy named Curtis Weaver.
Okay.
He's coming out. He's a junior out of Boise State from Southern California. Kid is a freakish athlete. 6'3", 265. Bo was saying during the commercial break, we could probably go best athlete with the 16th pick and then catch this guy in the second round.
Okay.
There's a lot of buzz about this guy.
So anyway, this is you're going pass rush with the first two picks, is what you're saying?
No, I think you might go safety. I think you might have to worry about Keanu Neal's long-term, you know, viability.
Sure.
But I think maybe best athlete with the first round pick, and then maybe you pivot, and in the second round you could get a guy named Curtis Weaver. Just a thought, just a little a thought seed to plant for Falcon fans, which we try to do before every draft.
All right, man, let's get to our strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, man, last night he put on a show. Trey Young, 50, on the Miami Heat. And the interesting thing about this is, as we started the show today, we were talking about this, and many of you who follow Trey on Twitter, you know that he tweeted out something kind of unique last night in response to Jimmy Butler, who had tweeted when we lost down in Miami. You guys remember this, about 2 months ago or so, when we thought the game was wrapped up and Trey was like, it's over! And he spoke too soon and we ended up losing
right. That
game. Well, last night, Trey tweeted out, after Jimmy Butler had put out a tweet after that loss down there in Miami, I guess that Trey Young can see the future. He's right. It was over, being very sarcastic. Mm-hmm. Well, Trey last night says, and FYI, at Jimmy Butler, Jimmy was right. I can't see the future. I saw tonight happening a while ago. Hashtag, and I don't even like Twitter beefs. But this is all in fun, Mike, but
right. The
kid doesn't forget. He took it personal, and last night he came out and balled out of control. We had a great conversation with Steve Koonin. This guy's a legitimate superstar, man. Get on board. This is fun to watch. You don't know what's going to happen. Did you see some of the shots he pulled up for from last night?
Dude, that's why I'm saying it. We started the show to talk about it. We talked about it with Steve Koonin last hour. If you're not an NBA fan, this is the kind of guy that'll bring you back to the NBA. If you're like me, you kind of after the strike in 99, you're like, I want it. I'm like, eh. And it was so much meh with the Hawks. Even going to the playoffs, like, meh. You know, Joe Johnson, ISO Joe. This is a guy that you want to see. This is video game stuff. This is, you know, we thought we were going to get when we got him, our Steph Curry. So the dude is making major highlights every night, and last night you had a real NBA big boy moment.
Let's hear from Trey talking about scoring 50, but again, big perspective, it's about W's, right?
It felt great. It felt great. That's the main reason why we play. We play to win. And for me to be able to have a good night like tonight and also win, that's the best part.
Now, Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter both played huge roles in the fourth quarter. We'll let you hear those highlights coming up, but here's what Trey had to say about both of those guys.
Being able to score the way I did, but also seeing Dre and Cam step up and make big plays was a big force in the fourth.
So, Mike, we said this. Cam Reddish, if he turns into what we think he can be, this team becomes very special. Because now, all of a sudden, not only are you scoring if you're Reddish, but you're playing D. That's the part that's going to put us over the top, right?
Cam Reddish last night, I mean, we're talking about these big moments, like, you know, when he dunked on Joel Embiid against the Sixers a few weeks ago. I mean, with these bigger, again, these coming-of-age moments in the NBA. These guys are so young, man, 19, 20, coming out of college, you know, so this is great. You talked about DeAndre with a monster shot. This is what the nucleus of the Hawks is going to look like now. Oh, add Clint Capella along with John Collins, and now you've got some presence in the front court, you know, and you've also got the ability to rebound and play better defense. Trey's never going to be a great defender, but you saw last night what he's all about. I mean, he's a superstar. We got one of the young superstars in the NBA right here in the A.
Let's hear the highlight of DeAndre Hunter hitting a three in the fourth quarter. This tied it up at 124.
Trey with the ball. Trey drives. Trey goes in the lane. Throws it out now to DeAndre Hunter for a three. He's got it and ties the game. DeAndre Hunter hits the three. It's 124 all.
So that's tie game. Then how do we take the lead? Cam Reddish with the steal and a jam.
Dragic has it poked away, and it's going to be loose on the floor. Cam Reddish has it. Cam will go in. He jams! A two-hand slam! And the Hawks take the lead, 126-124. Cam Reddish did it to Dragic that time. Stole the ball and went in and jammed. And the Hawks take the lead.
Dragic that time!
It's good stuff, man.
Love it, man. It's exciting, man. This is, I know we're behind schedule because of the John Collins suspension we talked about. But as we mentioned with Steve, these are the moments you want to be down there at State Farm. These are the moments you want to be talking about. You know, you get on Marta, as we said earlier in the show, Carl. Yeah, Dad, I really want to see Paul Millsap tonight. Miss those bunnies from outside 2 feet. now it's like, now you got the guy you want to go see. Now it's like, hey, like whenever a Golden State comes in and we see, 1,000 or 1,500 people around the corner of the basket watching do his warm-ups. We got one of those guys, and we're hopefully going to build on that. That was always the idea and the plan for Travis Schlenk, and you're seeing it.
Yeah, Gabriel hits us up on Twitter. Find us, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Lots of stuff coming out from Vegas and highlights and lots of footage from what we've been doing. But Gabriel says, Steve Coonan, he tweets at Steve, Mike, and says, Atlanta lost Dion, Mike Vick, Dominique. He's just going down the list, and he says, in their prime, let's not lose Trey for future prospects or some other BS.
Well, they're never going to trade him.
No. And here's the deal. I actually think Trey, and I've said this, he's the biggest thing in our city since when? He doesn't want to go anywhere. He wants to build this. He wants to make this his special thing.
You know, football has a bigger fan base, but this is going to be the biggest thing since Vic. I'll buy that. I'm down for that, what Steve threw out. That's not hyperbole. You've got a guy that's going to be making the highlights. And as we said, now it's got to translate to success in the playoffs, and that's not here yet. But how do you watch last night against a good Miami team, second-best team in the East, arguably, and not be excited by what you saw from Reddish, from Hunter, all the guys, and then know that we're going to have some more pieces coming in when they're healthy.
Yeah, one other thing I just want to mention is Dukes and Bell, it's our strong arm story of the day. Guy talk coming up here in less than 10 minutes. Our conversation with Tyson Fury on the way. The thing that I love the most is how personal he takes it. And that was exhibited last night. The greats, okay, and don't misunderstand me here. Don't quote me and say I heard Duke say this. But the greats, Kobe, Mike,
right?
Okay, go down the list of players that in NBA history that you go, they had that something. Tim Duncan, who didn't say anything, they took it personal when guys got the best of them.
Right.
And so when Trey gets a little bit embarrassed about calling a game before it's over, he didn't forget that. And last night he had a chance to get back at the Heat and destroyed them. To me, that's a trait that you either have or you don't, Mike. That's not nothing you can be on the practice floor all day long and shooting jumpers, but if you don't have that instinct in you, that's the difference in him, guys, and I love that about this dude.
That's what we were talking about the other day for guys like, again, I'll say me, who drift in and out sometimes of their NBA interests. I feel, especially, the load management crap and all these things we've been talking about this year, do these guys really care? Yes, he cares. He's got that killer instinct. Everything Carl just touched on, the guys came before him. You can't necessarily say that about everybody who's dressing out in the NBA night in and night out.
No, you cannot, bro. All right, man, we've been talking a lot about this fight. We're going to let you hear more from the guys, Deontay Wilder, his prediction, and also what Tyson Fury says he needs to do. Mike, you said you ran into, was it Freddie Roach last night?
Freddie Roach, saw him for a bit, and he didn't really, the style of the fight and the change that Fury was going to try didn't make sense to him either. So we're talking about
his approach?
Yeah, we'd say the idea that you want to go boxing, you want to go toe-to-toe with Wilder after Fury boxed in L.A. and took it all the way to the distance and survived the knockout shot. Freddie was confused by that as well.
Yeah,
as were the people with him.
All right, so we'll let you hear what Tyson's plan is, or at least what he hopes to do, and also Fury's thoughts on Anthony Joshua. Remember, whoever wins this fight, it possibly sets up a huge match with Anthony Joshua now, who has retained his belts and gotten his belts back. So a lot of stuff lingering in the heavyweight division. Hey, man, find us, 929 The Game. Great stuff from Sean, who's posted a lot of stuff out here. Go see all of that footage at 929 The Game. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's all out there.
Really cool moment earlier today. Carl got to reconnect with his buddy, Booker T, that used to do the radio show with in Houston. And what a great dude, man. Fantastic personality. That's online at 929thegame.com as well. And as you said, we're going to hear from a guy that's got personality in spades, and that is Tyson Fury, who's got that energy, man. He's got there's so much juice. That's what makes this fight, as Steve said, so exciting. You got two really dynamic personalities, and these guys have just committed to going toe-to-toe, trying to beat the snot out of each other as soon as the fight starts.
No, it's the best, man. I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. Atlanta, I'm done talking about Luka. I'm talking about Trey. Luka who? Let's talk about our guy. Let's embrace our guy. Let's build our guy up. Hey, Atlanta soccer supporters, stop by Twin Peaks in Kennesaw this Tuesday from 2 to 7. Both Dukes and Bell will broadcast live, brought to you by Reformation Brewery. Grab a cold Golden Spike Lager, guys, from Reformation Brewery at Twin Peaks on Tuesday. We're coming back. Guy Talks next.
Yes, we talked about it earlier, but for guys just getting in their car, curious what was going to happen with the Braves and the sideline reporter. We found out who the new person is going to be, and I think you guys will be pleased.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
We do it each and every day. It's called Guy Talk. We're out here in Las Vegas having a great time, getting ready for the fight. Tyson Fury on the way next hour. But Mike Bell, there's so many other things going on.
Yeah, man, we're here in Vegas. I mentioned this earlier in the show. I told Carl when I got here to start the show, I'm over at the food court here at MGM, and there's a bunch of British ticket brokers. These are guys that are trying to get tickets, presumably for the English fans here to go see the Gypsy King, Tyson Fury. I felt like I was in the movie Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, or Snatch, the Guy Ritchie movies, the heist movie, caper movies. You can hear these guys, Carl. They all got the same look. These guys look like East End London, real Cockney. It's like, I've got full for $550 a piece. All right, stand by me and call my man. I love these guys had hundreds of tickets. They're cutting deals. I mean, 10,000 this, 10,000 that, 10,000. Because I can get you there. It's row five. It's mustard. I'm in a movie. I'm hanging around. I'm eating my scrambled eggs and everything. I'm listening to this. I'm laughing. And the guy's like, all right, so we'll go two. We go for $20,000. He'll get, call my man, contact you. We'll get tickets right here, okay? Done.
I'll call you on my mobile.
Get you on my mobile. Yes, okay. Hit me back on my mobile. I got a big kick out of it. Anyway, that's what's going on here. Ticket prices anywhere from now going up around $600. Now it's like $1,000 for like the cheap seats.
Up top.
Yeah, it's going to be bananas. I can't wait. Going to be bananas. All right, guys, see what's going on in the world. Remember the movie The Fan? Kind of a goofy, melodramatic stalker movie with Robert De Niro as a Giants fan, and it was Wesley Snipes playing the Giants player.
Yeah, he was sort of like a Barry Bonds type.
Right.
Superstar, drove a big truck. I remember that story. Yeah, I remember the movie.
Well, Brett Gardner, the Yankees, says an obsessed fan harassed and menaced his family. He says an obsessed fan who calls herself his future wife. And he used to harass the family, and this is scary stuff. He says the lady's name, Gina Devashahayam, believes she knows me personally and maintains some sort of amorous relationship with me. He said in an interview with NJ.com, the North Jersey website, he goes, this is not true. Claimed that Gardner sent her sexual signals and wants to raise a family with the outfielder. He's like, no. She's just nuts. So anyway, being a Yankee is tough these days, man. It's bad enough you got the media on, you got stalker fans. All right, as an Irish kid who grew up in Wausau, this is freaking great. I got a bunch of my buddies listening online. He is here. Gentlemen, Jerry Cooney.
Let's go,
is
baby.
Here. You look great,
what
man.
The
How
hell?
You doing?
I don't look great, bro. I'm in the picture. That's all that matters. Listen, I got to tell you something. I identify with you guys a lot because I no longer have a television face. I got a radio face.
Hell, bro. Champ looks great,
you
man.
You
look great,
I'm
brother.
So excited to be with you guys tonight. Listen, we're going to see a great fight tomorrow night. There was Tyson Fury won. They fought a certain way.
Right.
Who makes the adjustments? Does Wilder drop that instead of throwing it right hand over his head all the time?
Right.
Does he drop it 6 inches?
Right.
Catch him, knock him out? And does what does Fury do? I know he's in great shape.
Right.
He said he was going to be fat. He's playing the game.
And so it's a head game.
I feel so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. He looks great. By the way, speaking of big heavyweights, you're 6'6". I mean, you're a big guy. We haven't seen big guys like this in a long time, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, no. Well, you had the Klitschko brothers. They were big,
sure.
Like us. They're all big guys. And as time from us all drinking milk all the time.
By the way, Jerry Cooney's with us. I can tell you when the Cooney brothers would come into places like Spratt's,
and
all the way back in Long Island.
Those were the days.
It was a scene, man. How exciting!
231. I was crazy.
But how exciting was that to be fighting? Like my dad took me to see you fight Ron Lyle. At the Coliseum, of course, fighting in the Garden against Ken Norton. That'd be like surreal, like a dream.
You know, it was a dream for me. I felt I'm in trouble. You know, I know you guys know I have a book that just came out about 4 or 5 months ago called Gentleman Jerry, Contender, okay. Being a Champion in Recovery. And it talks about...
Jerry, just move your mic right here for us. I just want to make sure everybody's...
Don't push me, boy. Don't push
me. There you go.
So, and you know, it talks about how I grew up and how to fear and
right.
Not good enough and how I got in the ring and won the Golden Gloves and got to the number one in the world. It's crazy. So, listen, if we keep fighting and keep trying and keep asking for help, we get it done. And so, listen, the game is strong now. It's stronger than it's been. When I first came to Sirius XM, by the way, I'm on Mondays and Fridays.
Okay.
From 6 to 8 p.m. on Channel 156 with Randy Gordon. Boxing was at a low. MMA was taking over. Do you remember?
Right. Oh, of course.
And now boxing is wow. I mean, they got great fights coming. Look who's coming through here. Terrence Crawford, Andre Ward, Shakir, what's his name? Stevenson.
Yeah.
Stevenson. I mean, phenomenal guys. Bradley's here hanging around. So we got great fights in all the divisions. The light heavyweight division is a crazy division. This heavyweight division, we talk about Ruiz, Joshua, Fury, Wilder.
Right.
Wait till you see the six or seven guys coming up right below them. Phenomenal.
It's something that we've been wanting for a long time, especially being boxing fans and growing up in the fight game like we have. We talked about it earlier. Jerry Cooney joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Our father's getting us into the game. And,
right.
you know, it's one of these things where if you grew up with it, and that's we try to explain this to people, but the buzz around this fight is real. I want to talk to you about the buzz when you fought Larry Holmes
right.
because it takes us back. When you have these big anticipated wow. fights, how do you handle it? We were at dinner last night, minding our own. Wilder's at dinner with his family, just chilling, having a good time, right. Jerry. But you got to know there's some stuff going on in there, right?
I was just telling a couple of guys today when I was seeing the fighters walking down the hall and that, you know, you get a knock on the door.
Right.
And they say, Cooney, you're next. And so your life kind of passes before you a little bit.
Right.
And then I have a picture in my gym of me when I just walk out that door, heading to the ring, and your life is passing before you.
Wow.
Then you get about 20 yards past that, and now you're okay, I'm ready to go, bro. It's all out. Let's get it on. You can't wait for the bell to ring, and that's what these guys live for, that moment. It's not about the dancing and the singing and the talking. Ring the bell. Let me fight. Let me make my adjustments. Let me figure out what's working, what's not working. Let me go back to the corner, listen to that guy, tell me what I can do better.
Right.
And that's what you got to have, and that's been missing in the game. A lot of the old great trainers passed away, and this young kids have come in and watered-down version of boxing. Like the amateurs, there's no body work. It's all headhunting.
Right.
You got to get inside to the body, get them to drop their hands, and then turn it over. That's what we did, and that's what it's got to come back. And listen, here's a story real quick. Boxing left. CBS, NBC, ABC went to HBO, Showtime, pay-per-view. The poor kids that would be fighters
right.
couldn't watch it. So we lost it for a while. Boxing went down. Now it's back. It's back on television. It's back coming again. We're seeing great fights. And not just the heavyweight division used to hold up the division.
Right.
Now the light heavyweights, the cruiserweights, the welterweights, the middleweights. I mean, lightweights. It's phenomenal what's going on. We're so lucky to be a part of it right now. And I would love to fight both of you guys anytime.
Give it a little size advantage here. It's a Jerry Cooney guy's with us. As we said, as a Long Island kid, it's a thrill to have an Irish
wow.
guy in there. It's just
wow.
a blast. Now, I know in the book you talked about it, because here with Wilder and Fury, we got no racial component. It's just
it's
a guy.
So great, so
and
pleasant.
They respect. And I know that you were not comfortable the way that whole thing was going. It's, 40, it's a time machine to 40 years ago.
I got to tell you the real story. The real story was I was in Las Vegas with six guys I grew up with. They came to my camp.
Right.
We hung out together. I was eating lobster tail and turtle soup. I wasn't looking about no racism. That wasn't any part of me.
Right.
We didn't have that. I thought Holmes did the whole thing.
Right.
When meanwhile, it was Don King.
Right.
To get more money.
Right.
And the biggest part, I was so pissed at Holmes when I wanted to get in there, I wanted to just hit him a shot, right?
Yeah.
And Mills Lane gives us instructions, and Larry Holmes looks at me and says, "Hey, Jerry, let's have a good fight."
What the fuck?
What'd you say that for? That's the kind of man he was.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of man he is today. And that's the kind of friendship we have together today. And we were going to go around the world and do some exhibitions as kind of like ambassadors for boxing.
Right.
Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be able to happen, but we're still trying to work it out.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about this. Mike Tyson talks about this all the time, and we love Mike. But he talks about guys having to fight each other, understanding how important that is to help grow the sport, right? Like, you have to, there's a mutual respect, but you have to fight each other, that those guys give you an opportunity and help grow you
right.
in the process. Whether you win or lose, that's not about
right.
that, right?
Right. The lesson I learned was fighting Holmes.
Right.
That's what I needed to fight three or four or five guys leading up to Holmes that King wouldn't let me have. because they wanted the big payday. Now, I'm not just going to blame King. My manager just wanted the big payday. I didn't know any about that.
Yeah.
All I knew was I couldn't get those fights. I needed that experience, so I knew more about the game.
Right.
I learned so much from Holmes that night. I still don't know why there was never a rematch. We had a great fight.
You went 13 rounds with Larry Holmes, a guy that nobody appreciates because he comes after Ali.
Man, he was a great guy. We had so much fun today.
Right.
And he was a great fighter. He was patient, waited, cool, salt, wait.
Right.
And, you know, landed those shots. So, listen, it's a great experience for me. I saved my brains mostly unless you talk to my wife. and I saved my money.
Right.
And I have a great life today. I've got three children. Never seen their father drink. I've been 32 years clean without alcohol or any kind of a substance.
Congratulations.
And it's amazing. You know, it's my life to live now. We got to live.
Right.
This is life right here. All you guys. I come here. I tell people. I come here. First come in. No one wants to look at each other. I say hello to everybody. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, you and Chris.
Love it. Love
you,
it,
you and Chris Mullen, man. A great example.
Oh, he's a good man, too.
Getting it together, man. Well, it's a big thrill for us.
Thank you.
Just to wrap it up, who do you like? What do you think is going to go down?
You know, I want to tell you something. I love both those guys. You know, if Wilder got screwed around a little bit. Three guys tested positive for steroids. He should have fought. He didn't get the experience. And, you know, Fury came to put on 150 pounds, came back, said, I want Wilder, when nobody wanted Wilder.
Right.
And fought him life and death. So I like them both. I just think that Wilder is going to learn that, okay, I don't got to throw 8 inches over his head all the time. If I aim for his chest, I'm going to hit him on the chin. And this time, I'm not going to jump up on the ropes and celebrate for 20 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to stay focused and take him out.
Yep.
Or else it's going to be a great fight, and we're going to see a trilogy.
Jerry Cooney, thank you so much
for
stopping by.
Love you guys.
Once again, man, you're on twice a week, Satellite.
Satellite, Sirius XM, channel 156, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern time. Man, me and Randy going, we are tearing it up, bro. Tearing it up.
That's what's up.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you,
man. Jerry Cooney. Guys, we got plenty more to get to. 6 o'clock hour straight ahead. Top 3 at 6. And you'll hear from the Gypsy King. It's Dukes and Bell live in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.